Some of you may remember the old name for this Sunday, Low Sunday. Well, we don't know exactly why this name was applied to this Sunday. It might have to do with these facts. Now, there are a fair number of you here today, but historically that hasn't been the case. You know, sanctuary's packed on Easter Sunday, everybody's here, and then the Sunday after it drops off a lot, usually, but there are quite a few of you here, so that kind of throws out that analogy out the window here. Remember the Easter finest that many wore last week? Sam even wore a suit. It was a three-piece suit. Yeah. Now we're back to wearing what we usually wear on Sunday. Last week we had a tomb wall with a rollable stone, thanks to Pastor John and his family. This week, that tomb is in our garage. We could have left it up the whole Easter season, but I don't know how many of you would have liked stooping every single Sunday. It's in the garage where it will stay until 2026. The massive preparations, the joy, the excitement of Easter Sunday simply can't be sustained each week. In a way, it's back to normal. But for the disciples, nothing would be normal ever again. So of course they're behind locked doors. Why wouldn't they be? They're suffering from trauma upon trauma upon trauma. First, their master and friend had been betrayed by one of their own. Peter had denied being his disciples, and the others, except for the beloved disciple, had abandoned him. Then he had been murdered on a Roman cross. And then Mary Magdalene reported seeing him alive. Peter and the beloved disciple, for their part, had a foot race to the tomb early that morning, but they hadn't seen Jesus. They had just seen an empty tomb with some carefully rolled up linen cloths. Little wonder they're afraid. John tells us that they're afraid of the Jews, which for John, who himself and for his community were Jewish, probably meant the temple authorities. But there it may be one other Jew that they're afraid of. And of course, that Jew is Jesus. If the tomb is empty and if Mary's words are true, that means he's on the loose. That means that even the empire's final weapon of death couldn't restrain him. And if he's on the loose, that might mean he's come back to settle things. When Jesus suddenly appears in the room, it appears that their first worst fears have been realized. But the first word out of Jesus' mouth is shalom. Peace be with you. Think of all the other things that Jesus could have said. He could have said, "You guys screwed me over." Could have said something like, "You did this after all I did for you." Could have said, "You and I need to have a very long talk." Kind of like, my mom's here today. But kind of like my mom back when I was a kid. We need to have a long talk. The very best the disciples could have hoped for was that Jesus might have said something like, "You all messed up really bad. You can see that I'm back now, so I hope you learned a valuable lesson from this. And we should review that washing feet part. We're going to go over that again. We're going to go over all this stuff I told you before, see if you get it this time." That would be welcoming the disciples back according to the transactional law that we all live by in our day-to-day lives. If my daughter screams, she loses a toy. She keeps screaming, she loses more. When she gets them back, it often comes with a little lecture. "Don't scream anymore." But that's not what Jesus does. There's no lecture. There's no punishment. Jesus instead gives them his peace, his shalom, which is the same thing as his forgiveness. The disciples aren't welcomed back on the basis of don't ever do that again. Jesus welcomes back the disciples on the basis of his amazing grace, which creates a new kind of life. And in this new life, there's a mission to accomplish, that of forgiving sins the way that Jesus forgives them. Jesus has broken through their locked doors, has broken through their trauma to equip them with the Holy Spirit and empower them to continue this work of reconciliation. You might be in a similar place in your own life. You too might be fearful of decisions by world leaders or by current events. You may have had your own traumatic experiences, as the disciples did. Maybe the world just doesn't make sense to you right now. And in response, perhaps you'd like to just lock yourself away. Haven't we all wanted to hide from the world sometimes and keep ourselves safe? But Jesus won't let us hide for long. Jesus didn't let the disciples hide, including Thomas. Thomas wasn't with them that first week. His response is understandable. He only wants what the others have seen. He only wants what they've received. There's something intriguing about this story, and it's not just about Thomas. The disciples seem to need another appearance of the risen Christ as well, because they're behind those same doors the very next week. Jesus has said, "Peace be with you, as the Father sends me, so I send you," and they're back in the same room the next week, behind locked doors again, presumably still fearful. They need to hear it again. Even after receiving the Holy Spirit, after receiving the power to forgive sins, they're still there. But Jesus breaks through again. He invites Thomas to touch the marks of trauma on his ruined hands and his wounded side. He invites Thomas, as well as the rest of the disciples, to rekindle their faith. And he gives us who have not seen Jesus Christ in the same way they did to do the same, to not be of unfaith, but of faith. He breaks through to the disciples, and he does it continually. Easter was not just a one-day thing. The Gospels tell us it's an ongoing thing with many fits and starts, and that's true in our own lives too. Jesus breaks through whatever we've experienced. He breaks through to us, whatever heartbreak we've suffered. Jesus breaks through to us today, coming in word and water, in bread and wine, to forgive our sins so that we can forgive others. Jesus breaks past our locked doors and barricaded windows to give us the Holy Spirit, who alone creates faith. Without the Holy Spirit, this is simply an interesting story about a dead man who's alive again. But with the Holy Spirit, these frightened disciples who would prefer to wallow in their own trauma, would prefer to just lock themselves away to keep themselves safe at all costs, become bold. They become witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and to the reconciliation of God, even to a world that would just as soon sit behind its own locked door, a world that would just as soon be left to its own devices. People of God, we've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to carry on this mission of sharing the peace of Christ. And no one should know that better than us here at Shalom Lutheran Church. It's in our name, after all. Our purpose is in this story from John's Gospel. As Jesus shares his peace, so we share the peace of God, so that the world can know the peace, reconciliation, mercy, and love through Jesus Christ. Amen.